I have kept this interview secret for a long time. Way back before we actually made the decision to buy camels, I did an interview with a couple of camel experts who you are about to meet. I didn't release the interview because I wasn't sure if we were getting camels or not. What they had to say changed my mind about camels and whether or not they needed to be on our farm. And it just might change your mind. Let's jump right in to this discussion about camels. Do they belong on your homestead? We have been doing a lot of research into this animal, and up until this point, this has been a top secret subject on our channel. We haven't shared with you any of the information that we're about to share with you. We've been looking into this animal for reasons we talked about in a previous video. So you may know what we're talking about. We have some very special guests that I want to introduce you to. They're camel experts, and they're going to help us talk all things camel tonight. They're going to answer a lot of questions. Why would you even want to bring a camel onto your farm in the first place? We're going to talk about managing camels, working with camels. So I'd like to invite Russell and Tara onto the show. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We're so pleased to be here.
Well, welcome to the show, guys. We've been really looking forward to this interview. My wife first stumbled across your guys' information because she was Googling camels. And apparently, you're one of the top finds when you Google the word camel. How did that happen? Yep. How did you wind up to be a top Google search result for the word camel?
We're really the only ones that are actually blogging consistently about camels. So it's kind of not that hard.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll start first.
Well, first, we're from Australia.
We're from Australia, obviously. Yeah, from East Gippsland. You may have heard of the area with the recent bushfires.
Yeah, that's us. So we're on the map now.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah, getting involved with camels. Well, I was actually an English lecturer. Many moons ago, and my mother passed away, and she did a lot of charity work for the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, and I decided that I was going to do something to honour her, and the decision was I was going to walk across Australia with a herd of camels for a children's charity. 13 years in the planning and preparation and changing my lifestyle from being an English lecturer to being a camelier and learning about camels, making sure that I had all of the resources in my toolkit so that I could survive out in the desert quite nicely and do the two-year walk. That happened, the two-year walk. I went from the top end of Australia and sort of zigzagged my way through the desert down to the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne for a children's charity that brings children from third world countries where they don't have the medical facilities into the children's hospital and save their lives, basically. So, yeah, that's how I got involved with camels. And then I started safaris out in the desert, and that's where I met Tara.
Yeah. Did you have any questions for
Oh,
you?
Man, like only 1,000 questions. That was quite a story. We could do an entire podcast just on the story of this trek, two-year trek on camels. I wish we could right now.
You don't have to. Just buy the book. It's called Camel Man Dreaming, and it's on Amazon.
You guys, there we go. You got it together.
Tara was a horse trainer, and she'd been traveling around, and I met her out on a cattle station. And
so we were both like in the middle of the like remotest area possible. And, like, you wouldn't think you'd meet interesting people out there. But, like, there's definitely more cattle than, you know, people out there. But in this instance, I was told by somebody in the local area that I should, you know, in quotes, meet Russell because he's walked across Australia with camels and, you know, he's all this and all that. And I was just a bit like, what? Like, you know, is he crazy? Like, what sort of person does that? And to be honest, it was probably a bit more of an ego thing as well, because I was all about horses. Like, my dream was to trek with horses across Australia and around Australia. So I'm like, camels, don't worry about those. So I ended up meeting Russell and his camels that he had at that time. And I was just like blown away by, I've always worked with large animals, but just the camels and how they want to really connect with humans, and they really, they form such strong bonds. I saw the bond that Russell had made with his camels. I was a little bit skeptical because I didn't want to meet a, you know, so-called camel person who was just going to be really heavy-handed. I'd never believed in that with large animals. I never believed that large animals need a really heavy hand and need dominance and all that masculine kind of stuff. So I was a bit skeptical in that sense. But then when I saw Russell with his camels, I'm like, oh my God, like he's totally on the same page as me when it comes to large animals. And I fell in love with the camels first.
That's great.
And then I fell in love with Russell a few months after.
Yeah. It took a few more months.
Yeah, nah, there's a bit of that.
Total years of experience. You guys have lots of experience with large animals in general. Total camel years experience up to this point. How many years have you guys been working with these animals?
I've still got three of my original camels that I trained and walked across Australia with. And that happened, that's 13, 15, and we're looking at another 10. So that's 25 years. Mm. Wow. Wow.
The reason we've been looking into it is because of health reasons. So we have a brand new, he's 7 months old now. No, we might be past 7 months, 8 months old baby. And for the first time after four other children, we have four children, the fifth one, we're dealing for the first time ever with some serious food allergies. One of the solutions that we've been looking into for gut healing and gut issues is camel milk. Sure. But that's what brings us. So we've been looking at it for health reasons. What other reasons do people get into camels other than camel milk and health?
Can I actually get into this first?
Well, wait. Well, I just want to say something very quickly.
No, it'll be quick.
Is that you're wanting to get into camels for health reasons. Well, health, you know, that's very, very broad and general. Let me just tell you that your mental health will be just as good as your actual health.
Yeah, definitely. The camel actually is known in India, in the state of Rajasthan. It's one of the symbols of love. And because of the connection that camel can have with a human being and the amount of love that these animals have, the whole mental being, every client that we get coming out with us, whether it was on the desert safaris, whether it even be the one-hour beach ride, and even yesterday where people were just taking photos of the camels and just standing with the photos.
They're just like being with the camels.
They just said how peaceful it is and how, you know, gentle they are and how they feel at calm being just around the camel. And we get this all the time. I mean, you know, just 100% of the people that hang around with camels in our experience. That's all. But I wanted to say, okay, there's so much that a property is going to benefit from having camels on. Now, this is the guts.
You get into that, I just think the lighting is just gone bad. So I just might, can you see his face is really white?
It is, yeah, he is. He's got that camel glow.
Is that any good again?
Is that better?
Now you have a bit of a halo, but let's try that for a little while because it's a little clearer. Let's try that for a bit. I'll let you know if it changes.
Well, I can understand the halo.
It's that camel, isn't it? The camel love.
Okay, so I want to get to the guts of why camels on properties is so beneficial. I mean, not only have we just talked about, you know, sort of the calmness that the camels provide for a property, and also, you know, look, when you get with Christina and talking about her book Camel Crazy and the health benefits of camel milk. So there's those two things. There's another one which, how can you say, it's a natural way of making sure that your property is well maintained, in that the camels their preference is for the woody weeds. Yeah, so in general.
By nature, they are not grazers like horses and cattle. Like they're not ground eaters. They're actually topper eaters. Like they eat tops of shrubs and trees and plants. And they prefer weeds over, like if there was a weedy paddock and a pastured paddock, they'd most likely be grazing on the weedy paddock, depending what it was, of course.
Look, for example, I mean, when we bought this property 2 years ago, one of the paddocks, it's probably about, I would say about 4 acres in size, it was covered in blackberries, right? Just covered in them, blackberries that were almost as tall as me. And in that 2 years, the camels have literally annihilated all that blackberry. It's still present, but it's well and truly at ground level. And you might see a leaf or two, you know, shooting out of the ground, but that has totally just annihilated.
So they just managed that. Like, and interestingly enough, especially for you, Austin, is that we had got, like, the previous owners of our property, they had goats, and the goats did nothing compared to what the camels had done. And we've also got, I don't think you have it in the States, but we've got this plant, it's bracken, and nothing eats it, and it's just bitter, and it's a bit of a weed, it just grows, and you can't really, you can kill it off with pesticides and stuff. Yeah, but like, you know, that's not really our way of doing things. But the camels don't eat it. They actually sit on it
and squash it.
And they squash it.
They certainly got rid of the blackberries. They'll get rid of cakeweed. They'll get rid of just about every other weed that, you know, I can think of.
Wow.
And, of course, what that means for your pastures is as the weeds are getting eaten away, then your grasses are growing, which providing more food for your cattle. And
because the camels don't eat the grasses per se, they'd rather eat the weedy stuff, they co-graze perfectly with cattle and horses and, you know, all that sort of
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here's a big one for you. Okay, this one, which some of the pastoralists here in Australia have actually cottoned on to the science of what this is all about. The camels have bacteria within their guts, which really break down the food matter that they eat. Right? It's very, very...
Like micro breaks down.
Micro breaks down. And so when the camels go ahead and drink from the water trough, some of that bacteria, of course, goes into the water trough water. Cattle come along, drink that water, it lodges in their stomach. And over a period of time, your cattle will, and this has been proven time and time and time and time again.
It's actually been papers written on it.
Yeah, that your cattle will put on weight.
No,
because they're actually absorbing more of the food that they're just normally eating because of the gut bacteria that they've picked up from the camels.
I don't know if you picked that up on the camera, but my jaw just was like, what?
I know.
that's a new one. And we've been doing a lot of research here, but that's pretty awesome. So,
well, they actually field tested it in Australia with on a big cattle station here, cattle ranch, I suppose, you know, compared to you guys over there. And they wrote papers on it. We still can't, like, we've Googled pretty far down because it was many years ago and we can't seem to find those papers.
There's a lot of anecdotal records from just private people that have, you know, made comparisons with their neighbours who haven't got camels. But there is actually scientific research and papers written on it from overseas.
Yeah. So the other thing with camels and co-grazing them, there's so many benefits to having camels, but as you know, cattle, you know, they're hard-hoofed. Oh, they have, you know, so things like watering holes and ponds, you guys call them, we call them dams in Australia. The cattle can kind of really rough that up and mess it up and you have to dig it out regularly.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with camels is they have a padded foot, so they're not hard-hoofed at all. They've got two toenails. And they're just so gentle and soft on the environment and on the earth. So that's sort of why they they're sort of known to be the ghosts of the desert as well as the ships of the desert, because as soon as the wind blows, you can't even tell a camel's been there.
Can I give you another thing about for the ranchers, okay? Yeah. This one's a big one for the ranchers, because I know how expensive ranching can be, especially with your water points. Now, you take an area, two areas, okay, side by side, which you can have cattle and camels, right? So, you know, the two ranches. With the size ranch, where you've got your water points for cattle, because cattle, of course, can only move about 10 kilometres away from water for grazing, and then you've got to have another water point, okay? So take that area has 65 water points for cattle, quite a large ranch. But those 65 water points, of course, you've got to look after them. You know, there's all the maintenance, there's all the pipe work, there's the drilling for, you know, bore work, all the expenses, plus going around doing your water checks. All right, so 65 in that land for the X number of cattle, okay? In the ranch next door to you, with the same number of head of camels, right? Same environment, same number of head of camels, you only need one water point. Now you can imagine, can you imagine?
This is going to be the face of the show, like, what?
And can you imagine the cost saving
The
ranchers if they changed over from cattle to camels?
As you're
just that. In itself.
Telling me this, I was trying to draw quickly like a little infographic here. I'm real high tech with my, I don't know if you can see there, but there's like 65 dots. And I was getting ready to go, okay, how many do I have to put on the other side? One. 65 to one. Like, that's what that looks like.
And the reason for that is the way how camels go about things. All right. Now, where do you go? It's because the camels will go into the water trough, take their 150 litres in one sitting, and then wander around up to 65 kilometres a day, just browsing. Three or 4 days later, they might have to do it again.
But there's not only that, but if it's winter or spring and you get the dew on the grass, they actually... they water themselves off the dew of the grass as well. So they can go days without, drinking water because they're literally getting it off the morning grasses or the morning trees and shrubs and stuff like that.
And if your plants are actually like full of moisture and it's cold and they're not really working, I mean, no one's working them, they can almost go for months without a drink at all.
That, we just spent... And it's all to scale. We're not a rancher. We're a small homestead and we have a small group of animals. But we just did a huge project to put in an automatic waterer for our animals. And the automatic waterer that we installed, the unit itself is probably a $500 unit. It's really great unit. Works awesome. Made my life so much easier. But now I'm looking up at the field that we're about to fence in for our pasture and I'm thinking, okay, how many more of these should I put in for our rotational setup? And yet, even on a small homestead scale, this would simplify. I don't have 65 watering points. I have maybe six for my cows. But to be able to eliminate that and just let them come and get a drink and then off they go to the pasture for a day or two, depending on the season, that's incredible.
Yeah. So the thing to remember of everyone listening is camels are like built by the gods. Like everything is everything in their body, everything that they do works for them and their survival. So even things like if it's dewy in the morning and you've got the wetness in the air, their nostrils will actually absorb water too. And with the food, of course, like the best sort of food that they can eat is the high protein stuff that's in the trees and the shrubs. And, like they're not big, they're not pasture-eating animals, but of course they can.
They will, grass is only about 8% of their natural diet.
Yeah, that was sort of like another case study that happened. So, like, everything that they eat, everything that they drink is designed to work for them. So if they're overeating, they'll generally store, because and camels do overeat, and this is the biggest problem we have as domestic camel owners. Yeah. Because camels are survival animals, they will eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until they make themselves sick. Especially if you've got things like, you know, alfalfa hay, which is lucerne in Australia, like they'll just overeat that big time.
They're real opportunists in their feeding. And, of course, then the hump gets big. But, you see, the hump, of course, is their food reserve that they deliberately put onto their bodies.
For reserving food when they need it in...
in sandy desert areas where there's no food, you know, where they might end up, you know, sort of really... So,
the actual domestic problem we have with camels in Australia, like pet camels in Australia and the United States, is overfeeding them because they just don't ever use their reserve, which they're designed to use.
And I want to talk about their fat. I love their fat. I love their fat.
So, well, first of all, their hump is full of fat.
Fat, yeah.
Yeah, not water.
Okay, so the water they'll suck up, you know, they're 150 litres if they're only just getting water every couple of days. They'll suck that up. It'll take about a day for it to be absorbed into the bloodstream. Now, their blood corpuscles are actually shaped like this.
Like,
of course,
oval,
when you get such an injection, like an oval. Yeah. So when your blood corpuscles are getting so much water in the bloodstream, the blood corpuscles change shape to suit. Us, if we tried to do that, our blood corpuscles would be exploding all over the place and we'd be dead. But anyway, that's beside the point. But their hump with the fat, in lean times, they'll draw on that fat for, you know, food reserves for their muscles and that, you know, for working. And the byproduct of the chemical reactions that occur with burning up that fat is water. They produce their own water.
Wow.
Now, have I convinced you enough about getting a camel?
Everyone's
got a
camel.
You guys are pretty good, man.
Like, you know, you guys are talking about, oh, we want it for the health benefits, like, but then there's all these other things.
So much that, you know.
Now, you mentioned the meat. And this is something I know for my audience, homesteaders, the things we want to get from our animals. We want to feed our families, right? Just in the specifics of milk and meat, they sound like an incredible animal for the land, a good animal for people to work with, an easy animal to work with because it's a survival animal. Meat and milk yield for someone like a homesteader who's just getting into this. Also, there's the yield. I know here in the States, there's the yield of you could sell the livestock like you can anywhere. You can sell livestock and make money. But meat and milk yields, what do you get from a camel? Is it reasonable to look at as a meat animal? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so they don't necessarily produce as much milk as a bovine. Look, if you're getting 4 litres a day out of a camel, then you've done good.
So, and the other thing with the health benefits, and I know Christine will talk about this, and I hope you have her on your podcast because she's amazing knowledge, but for the health benefits of camel milk, you only need a little bit of milk.
Yeah, you don't need like a big fat glass.
You don't need like to drink a litre a day. You need like, you know,
a couple of hundred mil.
200 mil or something like that. So I don't know the specifics on that, but that's that side of it. But, you know, like, if you're talking like a business plan with ranchers and even small homesteaders and stuff, like if you've got other animals, you're already making, I suppose, holistic way, you're going to get better grazing because the weeds will be non-existent. So you're going to get more meat on your animals, especially with Russell explaining the cattle thing.
Yeah, so if you've got cattle.
I don't know how that transfers to sheep and other animals, but for cattle we know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say to also, for people who, you know, like your audience obviously listening to this, they're going to be saying, well, what's the difference between a horse and a camel? And that's a question that we get a lot. And
they're like everything.
Well, yeah, let's try everything. So not only with all that stuff that we've just mentioned there as well, but you don't have the issues of having to deal with hooves and feet and shoes and stuff like that. You know, they're a padded animal. Very little, if almost no, you know, footwork is needed.
Except if they're on pasture, like, all the time, because if they're on pasture, their toenails don't wear down on anything. But if
they may need a bit of a shave.
Things like gravel or sand, like we often encourage our clients to have big sand pits because the camels love rolling in it. You know, like we've never had to maintain our camels' feet. They're mainly on pasture, but we do have gravel here and take them for walks and stuff and easy fix.
And the other thing is because of their mouth structure, they can't accept a bit. Like a horse's bit, okay? So, it's a different way of training them and techniques, to be able to manage these animals safely and correctly. And they don't have a bit. And you don't have to do anything with the teeth either.
Yeah.
You know, not horses. You've got to, file them down or something like that. Nothing like that with camels.
We were just grinding cow teeth the other morning.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah. So anything you want to add, if someone is considering this and they're looking at their homestead and they're thinking, you know, can I actually have one here? Do I have the right kind of browse for them? Versus one of the things that I'm wondering about here is we have lots of pasture, not a lot of browse. Shelter, do they need some kind of protection from rain, shade, anything as far as keeping them on the property that you want to make sure you have?
Yeah,
Common sense plays a big part in all this.
And also really great neighbours. and not just for the reasons that we're laughing about, but also if your neighbours are pruning certain bushes and trees and shrubs that you know the camel will like, that gets recycled to the camel. So, even citrus trees, they love citrus. Like if you're pruning your fruit trees and stuff, most of that stuff they will happily eat. So having a good neighborhood network is like, oh, if you're doing the pruning, let us know and we'll see if, that matches with the camels.
But you can go ahead and create alleyways, if you like, along your fence lines, give it a couple of years and there's a food source of different acacias, for example, or different trees that they will browse from. So even if it's your immediate location might be just simply pasture that's quite suitable for cows and sheep, in the longer term, 2, 3, 5 years time, with a little bit of work and a bit of planning, then it can be also suitable for not only your cows and sheep, but also for camels as well.
And you're regenerating your land as well, which is also a bonus.
And you're providing more trees on the planet, which we need.
Yeah. So.
The benefits around, it's just huge. And you'll find, also once you go ahead and start planting these trees, then of course your native bird life will be coming back and that sort of thing as well. So you're actually helping the ecology. You'll end up with more insects around the place as well. And so long as you're not cropping or anything like that, and you actually are pastoral, that's beneficial all around. And you can branch out into, with more trees, more insects, therefore more bees, therefore beehives, you can look at it holistically and include camels into that.
Yeah. And, of course, talking about shelter and stuff, we know for you guys in the States a lot, it snows in a lot of places. It's really funny, because we've got a lot of our clientele is in the United States, is that they'll have shelters available for their camels and their camels will go in there, but when it's snowing, the camels will stand outside.
Stand out in the snow. Why?
So we always say it's a good idea to have that available to them and have sand, in the sheltered area, have sand, because they love that. And if it is very wet country, which I know it can kind of get like that just as it's about to snow, it gets really wet and muddy, they need a dry place
to stand.
Otherwise they can get foot rot. So
that's something we actually just did a big project here where we put a few good dry lots in, but we don't have sand. We have small gravel. And
that's all right.
Same kind of idea.
Not a problem.
What about rain? Do they need to be out of the rain?
No, not necessarily. It all depends on what sort of rain. If you're talking rain that is, close to zero, close to being snow, they'll probably find shelter. If you've got some big trees, they'll probably stand underneath those big trees. But if you've actually got shelter, then tin sheds or whatever, the more than likely we'll go into that in time, get used to it, you know, especially if you've got, you know, something nice in there, if you've just built your shelter and they're not going in there, well, stick some hay in there, some that they like, some carrots.
And here's the thing with camels.
Just get them used to it. And once they're used to something, they're going to be, we're really in snow here.
It looked like a painting in a church that
the sun's but the other thing to remember the camels are built to survive. So if it is snowing or if it's raining and it's windy and it's cold, guess what? They will sit down, their bums will be towards the wind, and they'll just ride through it, you know?
Yeah. Very adaptable animal.
Mm. Well, you guys have answered so many questions. You know, this is something that we've been going back and forth on this for the last month, dealing with these health issues. Anybody who's listening who has been a little bit interested, inspired by this, who wants to learn more, maybe wants to look at some of your ebooks, maybe considering take a course, where can people find, what do you have for the maybe future cameleers out there, and where can people find it?
Great. So our website is camelconnection.com, and we specialize in helping new camel owners become familiar with camels, learn the ins and out, the training, the handling, the psychology, and the well-being as well. And because we've got a resident camel vet, you know, she's incredible with her knowledge, and she's so generous with her knowledge too. Definitely, first things first, head over to our website, download the free ebook. There'll be a pop-up there saying download Introduction to Camels ebook, and that's a free one we offer. And that will just give you a bit of an overview on what camels are about, the fencing. Should I get one or should I get two? Do I get male? Do I get female? Like what are their behaviors like? Can they ever be my friend? Like all those little things that sort of go around in people's heads when they're considering camels. Now, if you've been completely inspired by this, you need to meet us in person, and you need to do this camel training, because it will, and this is not our words, this is our clients' words, it will change your life. Like, people will come to us they don't want to buy a camel just yet, they just want to find out about camels. Yeah. And then they'll do a course with us. Oh my gosh, like, that's just blown my mind. There's so many things I can think of I want to do with camels now, and so many projects, and that really excites us, because that's what we want, people using camels. So we go all around the world. I mean, we do internet. If you want to have a bit of fun and a bit of a holiday, we've got international tours. We go to places like Jordan, India, Mongolia, South Africa. We go to all the places. So if you want to have a holiday and... Do you want a book?
It's okay. I've got the cover of your phone.
If you want to learn about camels and have a holiday, we got our international journeys. Otherwise, we do regular courses in Australia, which is all in our website, and also the United States. We're coming to the States this October. We'll probably hold a course in Texas and then another location. So,
well, if you're interested in holding a course in Pennsylvania, there is a big farm in Pennsylvania you might be able to teach a course from.
Oh, really?
We're
quite a ways from
maybe
Texas.
Maybe you'll have camels by then.
Maybe we will. So, maybe that'll be even easier that way.
And your cows will be fatter.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much. We'll have the links in the description on the podcast, on the YouTube video. If you're watching on YouTube, we'll have links for the website. We'll have links from the website. They can find your podcast and they can find your videos as well.
Correct.
So I usually ask my guests, because we've been homesteading for 10 years and we got lots of animals and we got a lot of experience. Usually I ask my guests to inspire the listeners who are on the edge, who might want to try this. But here I am, the one who's on the edge, who might want to try this. So what would you guys tell me? I'm on the edge. I'm like, what inspiration, what's the next step that you suggest to help me go from to woo?
Yeah. So the vibe I'm getting from you is you need to come and do a camel course, because that will change the game. Like, you think you know now why you want camels, but once you've done a camel course, like an in-person one, that would just be next level for you.
And I also think that something really valuable here would be to get two pieces of paper. One is where you would be in 5 years' time with your property if it's business as usual. And with what you've heard from now and any more research that you do on camels, where you would be in 5 years' time if you got camels in your life. And then make the comparison there.
And then what?
And that's sort of more scientific rather than emotional.
And then also where you would be in 5 years' time, you'd be much further along, because once you get camels, it it changes people's lives. And that's just not what's changed our lives, but you can just do so much with camels. There's just so much to learn all the time, and that's why they become addictive in that sense.
I love it. You guys got the emotional side, you got the hard facts. If you listen to the Homesteading Podcast at all, any of our older episodes, you know we like to approach things from both a logical and an emotional side and kind of throw them at each other and see what happens. So thank you guys so much for taking this time. You've answered a ton of my questions. You've given me some next steps, some homework to do. And if you're watching or listening on the podcast and you want to learn more, there'll be links below to get to the website. There you can find the free ebook. You can get the book that we are reading currently, which is about camel husbandry. And those are the first steps, and who knows where that will end for all of us.
Exciting! Woohoo!
Well, thank you guys so much. This was awesome.
There's a lot that's been discussed.
And,
we already
apologize for those that can't sleep tonight. Because, like,
camel
dreams. Your heads will be spinning, and it's a lot of information, but we really, I mean, our main goal is to excite people about camel ownership. And like I said, once you own camels, the sky's the limit, you know. It's really that simple. So
if you enjoyed this interview and you wish it was twice as long with twice as much topics covered, there is a version like that exists in the world. Homesteady Pioneers get access to our in-depth, full-length, unedited versions of these discussions. They also get to join us live for these interviews and ask questions of the guests. There's a whole lot of more benefits to becoming a Homesteady Pioneer too. Join us for the live shows, see the unedited, full-length versions of these podcasts, or download the audio versions to listen in your car. In the extended version of this podcast, you'll learn what to look for when purchasing a camel to make sure it's a healthy animal.
What were the physical things when you're going to look at a camel considering purchasing?
That's right.
Yeah.
Tara and Russell also went on to talk about parasite management and control.
Heavy rainfall, and of course all the parasites are coming up out of the ground there. Well, that's where off-the-ground feeders.
You can watch the full-length version of this episode as soon as you become a pioneer. And you get to access our entire library, all the extended versions, instantly. Click the link in the description of this podcast to become a Homesteady Pioneer, or just head over to thisishomesteady.com, click on the Shop tab in the menu, and then Pioneer Member.